Let's turn our Bibles to two passages. First one is Psalm 54. Psalm 54 is a short psalm, and the title reads, "The Chief Musician on Neginoth, a Maskil, a psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, Doth not David hide himself with us?" Verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil of enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies." The next next passage is from 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23, and I will read from verse 14 onwards. 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. "And David abode in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and also, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." Verse 24, "And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of the south, on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon, and when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain, and David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee, and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selaham Malekoth, and David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would grant us understanding of these portions of Scripture that have been read. We pray that you would strengthen our hearts, strengthen our resolve to be like David, who was a shadow of the one to come, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this, of course, takes place when David was running away from Saul. It takes place when David was in the wilderness of Judea. And during that time, he experienced a lot of deprivation, a lot of hunger, a lot of despair and danger. But what we also experience about, what we also see here that David experienced is he was met with betrayal and loneliness. Now, I'm sure all of us have faced some measure or some occasions of betrayal before. It's never nice, right? It hurts. Someone that we trust, that we talk to, they turn on us, and this hurt is not easily removed. Now, we may even wonder who this person may secretly be in cahoots with. So here, we see in this passage, David experienced this betrayal. Now, David was someone who had done nothing wrong. He was clear in his sins, but yet Saul pursued him. And of course, Saul pursued him out of jealousy, and even his own people betrayed him to Saul. Now, Psalm 54 was written in the wake of this betrayal. Now, in the title it says, when the Ziphims, or the Ziphites, they went to Saul and say, you know, oh, David is here, why didn't you come and capture him? So there are three sections, I would say, or three things that we can learn from this psalm, and I'll be correlating it with 1 Samuel 23. The first thing that we see here is that these verses reveal David's trust in God when he was hurt, when he was betrayed. Now, how badly was David hurt? How badly was he betrayed? Well, you see in verse 3 of Psalm 54, it says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul." Now, this context, of course, is what we had read in 1 Samuel 23. David had gone to this region called Keilah. If you were to read a few verses before verse 14, you'll see that David was in this region called Keilah, and he fought against the Philistines. And he saved the people from the Philistines, right? But the people were, in that one sense, going to give him up to Saul. So he ran away. He ran to this region called Ziph. And Ziph is in the region of Judah. It was in the tribe of Judah. Now, which tribe was David from? Judah, right? So these were his people. The Ziphites were his, you could say, clan, his relatives. So obviously he thought he would be safe with them, but what happened? They betrayed him, right? Now, these were the strangers and the oppressors that David was speaking about in verse 3, right? Strangers have risen up against me, and strangers means aliens, right? This could be referring to the people of Keilah, but oppressors could be talking about the Ziphites, right? So here, we learn David did not do anything that was wrong. He was chased by Saul. He was betrayed by his relatives, the Ziphites. And as we read in chapter 23, I think it's like verse 19, the Ziphites went to Saul, and they were almost begging Saul to come down to kill David, right? What does the verse say? Okay, it says, does not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the woods, right, in the hill of Hakilah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? So they were telling Saul specifically where David was, and not only that, they said, now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down. You know, they all knew probably Saul was, you know, really hated David. And so they said, we know that you really desire to come and kill him. Well, you come down. You know, they were begging him to do this. I mean, suppose you're David. You've done nothing wrong. You've been betrayed. You've been maligned, right, by someone that you trust. You know, just imagine how he felt. You know, he did not do anything wrong, but here, right, the Ziphites had turned against him. And that is why we learn from these four verses that David turned to God. He trusted in God in the midst of this betrayal. Verse 4, he acknowledges that God is his helper and that God is with those who uphold his soul. So he recognizes that in the midst of all these problems, he can trust in God. And what is more is God had sent him people to uphold his soul. Now, who did he send? If you remember, we read in chapter 23, Jonathan, right? Jonathan came to strengthen him, came to warn him about Saul. In verse 17, we see Jonathan saying, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth." And in verse 18, they made a covenant with one another. Now, this was very different from the Ziphites, right? The Ziphites went up to tell Saul. Jonathan came down to tell David. You know, Jonathan knew something was afoot. He knew that, you know, all these things were happening. And he came to David to warn David. The Ziphites acted disloyally, but Jonathan here pledged his loyalty. Now, he knew that despite those who were disloyal, David knew that there were those who were loyal to him. God was one, and of course, the others that God had sent hold David. So, trusting God in times of betrayal. This is what David went through. Now, the second thing that we learn, and we see this in verse 5, is he trusted in God. He would not get even with the Ziphites, but rather, he would let God repay his enemies. All right? So he was willing to let God have the vengeance. And this is what he says in verse 5. "He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth." You know, the reason why David was able to do this was because I believe he was clear in conscience. Now, David did not do anything wrong to receive this kind of oppression, which is why he was very confident in going to God and saying, "Look, God, you repay them evil for evil, right? You judge them. I won't do anything." It's one thing, of course, to go to God and say, "Oh, I've been betrayed. Never mind that I did that to that person. I might deserve it, but I was betrayed. So get them, God." I mean, who knows if God won't get you first, you see? Now, Spurgeon has this to say in commenting about this psalm. He says, concerning David's appeal, he says, "We dare not appeal to God in a bad cause, but when we know that we can fearlessly carry our cause before his justice, we may well commit it to his power." So David could say these things because he was clear in his conscience. He hadn't done anything that was wrong. Now, after the Ziphites reported this to Saul, he asked them, you know, to spy David out so that they could pinpoint his exact location. They proceeded to do that. But we see that they were prevented, right? You remember we read in verse 23 near the end, once they said, "Saul, you come down, you see where David is." David was walking on one side, they were walking on another side. They were very, very close to one another, right? Saul would have attacked David if not for a messenger who came and said, "Saul, Saul, make haste, be quick, the Philistines are attacking." Right? So David was saved by God. Right? David's prayer was answered. He did not retaliate. He relied on God. Now imagine how hard it would have been for him, not having done anything wrong, but hounded by these people. Right? Hounded by these people. And that is why we see, thirdly, because of his attitude, because of his prayer, God delivered him, and he praised God for that deliverance. Verse 6, David said, "I will praise thy name." And then we see the reason. Why? because he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Saul was chasing David. David didn't do anything wrong. The Ziphites came. David prayed. David was delivered. Now, this was not the last time that the Ziphites would try and betray David. They probably schemed. If you take a look at 1 Samuel 26, you see there again, they tried to deliver David into the hands of Saul. But if you read chapter 26, once again, David was also delivered. The one thing that we need to learn from this especially is David was clear in conscience. He cried out to God. God helped him. And to look at what verse is that now? Psalm 54, verse 1, the last part, it says, "Judge me by thy strength." So here, David was very willing to put himself into the judgment of God because he knew that he was righteous. Now, going through this psalm, I was thinking, you know, Psalm 54 doesn't really resonate with all of us all the time. I mean, we're not always betrayed on a regular basis, right? And even if we are, how many of us are betrayed like David? I suppose I can hardly say that we are. You know, oftentimes we are betrayed, but, you know, being sinners, we sometimes have a part to play in it. You know, how clear is our conscience? But I think this psalm serves to teach us about the greater David. This psalm has written throughout, right? The one betrayed is Christ. He was not only betrayed by his enemies, the Pharisees. He was betrayed by his friends, Judas. And not only that, he was betrayed by the one who proclaimed that he loved him, right? Peter. So our Savior, who endured the betrayal of his friends, the attacks of his enemies, we remember this. Let us not be quick to apply the psalm to us as if we are David, but let us be quick to question, are we like the Ziphites? And who have we betrayed by the way we live, by the way we think, by the way we cheapen Christ? Well, the one that we have betrayed is very, very often our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? By the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we think. And this is a reminder to us that the salvation that we have received does not come cheaply. You know what Romans 5 tells us that, you know, perchance, you know, well, it seldom happens or never happens that someone will die for a righteous man, but perchance someone will die for a good man. But what did Christ do? He died for sinners. People he very well knew would betray him, and very often, even after they are redeemed, do betray him. But yet we learn what Christ did. What did Christ do? In times of betrayal, he committed his soul to God. When Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, Jesus healed that ear. We learn that he gave God the vengeance. And what did God do? God, by the gospel, turned all of Christ's enemies, thousands upon thousands of them, and conquered them by the gospel. And so we ask ourselves, as traitors of Christ, how are we daily transformed? Well, according to our theme of the year, to surrender to Christ, to allow the gospel to conquer our lives. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that he was betrayed and put to death for our sakes. And if we were there, we would be yelling, "Crucify him." And if we were there, we would have chosen. If we were there, we would have nailed him to the cross and pierced him in his side. But help us, O Lord, to be conquered by the gospel, even as that soldier who saw Christ proclaiming him truly to be the Son of God, that we ourselves would believe so, would confess so, would behave so. So by your gospel, change us, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.